Zurück zu der Gemara und das Mem sein. Das Mem sein am Beis. Vahakuti mezamnin olav. We're going through the various cases of the Mishnah and trying to work out each stage what's the pshat and what's the chidush. Says the Gemara. Vahakuti mezamnin olav amai. Amai lo yehe elo am ha'aretz. Why should he be any different to an am ha'aretz? V'tanya, we have learned in a brisa. Ein mezamnin al ha'aretz, al am ha'aretz. An am ha'aretz cannot be incorporated in a zimun. Abaya omar, no, bekuti chaver. We're talking about a kuti, but he's not an am ha'aretz, even though maybe your average kuti is, but we're particularly talking about one who isn't. And because he's a chaver, chaver doesn't mean friend, by the way. Chaver means that he's a tamid chacham, he knows Torah, so therefore he can be incorporated as Zimun. Rava Oma, no. Afilu tema bekuti amoretz. Even if we're not talking about a chaver, even if you're right, he's an amoretz, so why should he be treated differently and better than amoretz? V'hacha ba'amoretz derabonam. There exists a concept of an amoretz midrabonon, the pligi oleo, the Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir disputed, askinon, that is what we're talking about. There was a certain amoretz, which we will call an amoretz drabonon, that Rabbi Meir had an opinion about, and that's what we're handling, that's what we're dealing with at the moment. D'tanya. This is all brought down in a braisa, and it says there, ezehu amoretz. What's the definition of amoretz? Kol she'enoi oichel chuliov b'tayro. Anybody who does not eat his chulin b'taharo is classified as amoretz. Divrei Rabbi Meir. B'chachamim oimrim, no. Kol she'enoi ma'aser peirosov karo. Anybody who doesn't separate his ma'isrus the way he should be. Vahami kutoi, and these kutim, asuri ma'asri kedachazi. They do take ma'isrus properly. Why? The b'mai diksiv b'oiraisa. Because anything that's written in the Torah, mizhar zahiri. Remember, the kutim do keep that which is written in the Torah. They do not keep that which is not written in the Torah. Ma'isrus is written in the Torah, therefore they keep it. Domar mar kol mitzvah sheikh zikubo kutim harba medaktikim bo yesum Yisrael. Those mitzvahs that the kutim do actually keep, they to an extent keep them in a way which is even more bediktuk than the rest of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, there's no question they definitely keep the erises, and a kuti does take maestros, and therefore he cannot be classified as an absolute amoretz. As an absolute amoretz. And that's why he's allowed to join forces in the Zimun. Rather, he might be considered an amoretz derabonon. But he's not an out-and-out amoretz. He keeps mitzvahs min ha-Torah, and that's why he can be incorporated in the Zimun. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanon, different definitions of an amoretz. Ezeu amoretz kol she'enoi koirei kriya shema. Arvis v'shachris, divrei Rabbi Eleza. If he doesn't recite Kriya Shema in the morning and the evening, Rabbi Yeshua oimer kol she'in maniach tefillin. Rabbi Nazai oimer kol she'in lo tzitzis bebigdoi. Rabbi Nosson oimer kol she'in mezuzah al pirschoi. So he's not putting on tefillin, tzitzis, mezuzah. Rabbi Nosson by Yosef oimer kol she'yesh lo bonim ve'in oimer gadlom letalmud Torah. He has children and he doesn't raise them to become Tamid Chachomim, Acherim Oimrim Afilu Koro V'Shono. Even somebody who's learned and done Chazora V'Loi Shimesh Tamid Chachomim Hariz Amoretz, if he has not become close, he's not forged a relationship with Tamid Chachomim, then he's considered to be an Amoretz. Omer Avuna Aloche Ka'Acherim. Yes, that's the psak that we go with, like Acherim, that a person can learn, but it's not good enough. He has to have connection with Tamidei Chachomim. Romi Bachoma Loi Azmin Oleo Drab Menashe Bar Tachlifa. Rombachoma, who did not want to be included in a zimun by Rabbi Nashi bar Tachlifa. The Tani Sifro, Visifri, Vihilchasa, even though he learned a lot of learning. Sifra, Sifri, Halacha, Kinoch Nafshei, the Rama Bachoma, when eventually he passed away, Omar Rava Loi, Noch Nafshei, the Rama Bachoma, Elo, the Loi Azmin, Arab Nashi bar Tachlifa. The reason why he passed away was because Rav Menashe did not incorporate him in a zimun. And he was so heartbroken about that, that's what brought about his demise. Says the Gemara, why, what's wrong? V'otanya acherim oimrim afilu kara v'shona v'loi shimeish tamuchachem harizam oretz. Surely the definition of an amoretz is somebody who hasn't done shemush, and Rav Tachlifa believed that Rami Bachoma had not done Shimush Tamid Chachamim, was classified as Namoretz. So he was very right for not incorporating him in a Zimun. Says the Gemara, Shani Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa, the Mashmi Lohu Lerabonim, the Rami Bachoma who Deloidok Abasrei. Rav Menashe was the Meshamish. He was Meshamesh Rabbonim. But Rama Bachama was not Dok.
That's right.
Yes, sorry. I think I said the story the wrong way around. Rami Bar Chama did not incorporate Rav Menashe Bar Tachlifa in the Zimun. Because he assumed, incorrectly, that Rav Menashe had not done Shimush of Talmidei Chachamim. And that's what it means, Loidok Abasra. He had not, as it were, done his due diligence to check whether or not he, in fact, had done Shimush. He had done Shimush. But he thought, Rav Bachama thought that he didn't. And because he thought that he hadn't done Shimush, that's why he didn't incorporate him in the Zimun, and that's why he suffered an early death. Because he thought, mistakenly, that Rav Menashe bar Tachlifa had never done Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. Lamed Aleph, which means Lishna Achrina, the Shoma Shmaitza Mipumayu de Rabbonon, the Goris Lohu Katsurva Mirabonon Domi. Some learn that even if he hadn't done Shimush, it's not that he didn't do his due diligence. He had, and indeed he hadn't done Shimush, but because he had heard Torah from Talmidei Chachamim, and he repeated that Torah and reviewed it, that then classifies him as a Talmud Chacham. So we have two possibilities as to what was the mistake of Rav Menashe. Is it that he assumed that Rami Bar Chama hadn't done Shimush and it was a mistake he had? Or no, he hadn't done Shimush, but he's nonetheless, he's not classified as an Amoretz, he's classified as a Talmud Chacham because he had learned and reviewed the Torah of Talmidei Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Ochal Tevel Umayser. So these are now the cases where you cannot be incorporated in Zimun. If, for example, you ate Tevel Be'issa, says the Gemara, Tevel, Pshita, that's Pashat. If you eat Tevel, it's an Issa Deraisa. Obviously, there cannot be Zimun. Says the Gemara, like, Tzricha. It's necessary, it's not obvious. We're talking about the Tevel, which is Tovel Midrabonam. It's not actually Tevel D'Eiraisa. Rather, it's Tevel D'Rabbonon. What does that mean? It's Tevel Midrabbonon. Heichi Domi Ba'otzit She'inei Nokov. A plant pot that has no hole in it. If a plant pot has no hole, then anything that grows in it is not connected to the ground. So min ha-Torah, it is exempt from Trumas or Maestros because this is not something that grew from the ground. Nonetheless, mid-Rabbonon, Midrabbanan, you are mechuyev to take trumas or maestras. And therefore, if you don't take trumas or maestras, how would we classify that food? It's tevel, but it's only tevel midrabbanan, because min haTorah doesn't eat trumas or maestras. So says the Gemara, that's what he ate. You're right. If he would eat tevel da'iraisa, then indeed it would be no chidush. Obviously, there'd be no zimun. The chidush of the Mishnah is that actually we're talking about where it's not tevel da'iraisa, it's only tevel midrabbanan. And nonetheless, the chidush of the Mishnah is it cannot be incorporated in zimun. Maisa Rishayin, where you had not taken the truma from it, this is what remember we discussed yesterday. The Levi has received his Maisa Rishon, but he has not taken truma. That is considered Tevel Min HaTorah. So once again, the question must be asked, Pshita. By the way, the internet connection is okay so far?
So far.
Says the Gemara, Pshita. How was it last night, by the way, on the VAD?
It was not as good as now. The picture was not as good, and the sound wasn't quite as clear. And there were a couple of times where you froze. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's much better now.
Okay.
It's possible, because you got up and closed your door last night at the beginning of the VAD, and immediately after that, you froze.
After right, so at the moment, my door is wide open. Yeah, it's easier in the beginning of the day. Okay. My Sirishoin, that the Levi has received and he has not taken Trumos or Maestros from it, that is considered Tevel. So once again, we ask the question, Pshita. Pashut? No, it's not so Pashut. Loi, Tzricha, Kagoin Sheik, Dimoi Bakri. Remember, we spoke yesterday about a Levi who preempted the Koyin, but we said, it depends at which stage he, in fact, preempts him. If he takes the Maisa from the Tavua, which is still Bashibolim, corn, has not yet been put into a pile, then it's fine. He's not obligated to take the Truma that the Kohen was supposed to have received. But if he takes the Maisa when it's at the stage of a Kri meaning a pile, then yes, it's still considered Tevel. But if you remember, we had a discussion about it. It wasn't so clear in the Gemara. The Gemara asked it as a question. The Gemara answered it as an answer. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Ma'ud tema, I would have thought maybe could the omelayer of Papa la Abaya. I would have thought as Rav Papa claimed to Abaya, remember Rav Papa was the one to ask that surely, even if it's taken from the Kri, there is no problem with that. Komash Malon Kedushani Lay, and that's what we're being taught. But as he answered him, no, it is a problem. It's not so obvious. It can't be that obvious because Rav Papa didn't think that way. Rav Papa thought that if the Levi takes his Maisa first, it makes no difference whether it's Shibolim or a Kri. So if he thought that way, obviously it can't be that obvious, even if he was wrong. So Komash Malon, what we're being taught in our Mishnah is that no, we go with the answer of Abaya, that if it was taken at a stage where it had been made into grain, then that is considered absolute tevel, and that's why it cannot be incorporated into a zimmer.
A kri is a smoothed pile, right?
Correct, 100% correct. Okay. If you look at the third top line of Rashi, right at the top of the Omer, Rashi says what you said. Mishoosh shenismareach. Bakri nismareach means it's become smoothened out, and that's the stage where the chiyuv of trumas u'maisros kicks in properly. Says the Gemara, maisa sheni. What happens if you eat maisa sheni, which has not been redeemed? We know you can redeem maisa sheni, and then it gets stripped of its status of maisa sheni. But if it has not been redeemed, it's still considered maisa sheni, and it's not allowed to be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. What if that's the case? And once again, it's obvious that's considered an absolute Aveira, says the Gemara. Maisa Sheni Pshita, it's obvious. If he's eaten Maisa Sheni, which has not been redeemed, so he's eaten absolute Issa. Says the Gemara, Lo, Tzricha. Once again, no, it is necessary because we're talking about a very limited case. What are we talking about? We're talking about sheniftu, it was redeemed. But v'loy niftu kehilchason. When the Mishnah says it wasn't redeemed, don't take that at face value. It's as if to say it wasn't redeemed whatsoever, because it was. But it wasn't done halachically correctly. And if it wasn't done halachically correctly, then that is as good as not having been redeemed. Now, what does that mean? It wasn't done halachically correctly. Says the Gemara, what this means is it depends. If it was Maisa Sheni, Kagoin, Shepodoi, Algabe, Asimoin. What's an Asimoin? Asimoin is a coin which hasn't been minted and it doesn't have the tsura on it, doesn't have the imprint of the melech. So that's the wrong type of coin. Why? Because the Rachmona Omar, because the Torah says the tzarto hakesef biodecho, and we make a drasha from that word, the tzarto kesef sheyesh olov tsura. It's got to be money that has on it a tsura. And if it does not have a tsura, then that's not considered absolute kesef. And therefore, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Don't translate literally, he has not done any pidyon whatsoever. Rather, he did a pidyon, but it's a halachically unacceptable one. That would be with regard to Maisa Sheni. What about Hektush? Hektush has different rules. Shechiloloi al gabi karka v'loi podoi bekesef. What he did was he tried to transfer the kedusha of the hektush not onto coins but onto land, which you cannot do. Why not? Because v'rachmona omar v'nosan hakesef v'komloi. Hektush, the kedusha of hektush can only be transferred to money. So if you have hektush and you try to transfer the kedusha onto property, it doesn't work. So for that's what the Mishnah is talking about. The Mishnah is talking about a case where he did attempt to do a maisa pidyon, which is a redemption. The problem is in both cases, what the Mishnah is teaching me, it was halachically unacceptable, either because the coin did not have a tsura or because the coin was not used at all, only property was used. That's not considered a pidyon, and that's why what he ate was considered to be an aveira, and he cannot be incorporated in a zimun. Says the Gemara of Hashamish, she'ochal pochos mikazayis, the waiter who ate less than a kazayis, he cannot be incorporated in a zimun. So once again, we ask the obvious question, pshita. But of course, if he said less than a kazayis, then obviously he can't be incorporated in a zimun. Nobody can be incorporated in a zimun for eating that small amount. Says the Gemara, you're right. I did the Tana Reisha Kazayis, Tana Sefer, Pochos Mikazayis. Because in the Reisha it taught me the case of a full Kazayis. And remember we said that really is a Chiddush. Why is it a Chiddush that we saw yesterday? Because the waiter might have been viewed as a non-member of this party, because he's not really sitting down properly. The Chiddush is that he is considered a member of the party. So that's what it says in the Reisha. So the Sefer parallels the Reisha. If the Reisha tells me when he did eat a Kazayis, so for the sake of symmetry, the Sefer tells me the case where he did not eat a Kazayis, but yes, you're right, there's no actual Chiddush. And finally, the Hanochri, the Goy, Ein Mezamnin Olov. Once again, Pshita. Isn't that obvious? Of course you can't incorporate a goy in the zimun. What's the chiddush? Says the Gemara, hocha b'maya skin on what we're talking about over here is begeir. He's not an absolute goy, or at least you might have thought so, because he's a convert. Shemol bat v'loy toval. He's done stage one of his geirus process, but not stage two. You are never considered to be a convert ad sheyimoil v'yitboil until you've done both. There's no such thing as half. And v'kama deloy tovel, as long as he has not toiveled, nochri, who he is an out and out goy. In which case, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. So it's not so obvious. You're right. If we were talking about a guy who'd never attempted Geirus, I wouldn't need a Mishnah. That indeed really is overwhelmingly obvious because he's just a plain old guy and he cannot obviously be incorporated in a Zimun. The Chiddush in our Mishnah is that he has begun his Geirus process. And therefore, we need to ask the question, what's the halacha when he's halfway through his Geirus process? What status does he have? And the answer is an absolute goy. There is no such thing as being half Jewish.
Despite what they say in non-Orthodox circles.
Right. Half Jewish, quarter Jewish. As we know, Geirus is either complete or it's not a Geirus. Says the Gemara, Noshim va'avodim v'ktanim ein mezamnin aleihem. You cannot form a zimun with noshim, avodim or ketanim. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Yosi, Kotan hamutal ba'arisa. Remember, this was a big chiddush, but as far as we remember, we do not paskin like this la'alocha. But there was a chiddush of Rav Yosi that a kotan who is lying in his crib, mezamnin olov, is allowed to be incorporated. What's going on? I thought we just learned in the Mishnah that he can't. The hotnan noshim v'avodin v'ketanim ein mezamnin aleim. So how can you tell me that a child in the crib can be incorporated in the zimun, but we have learned in our Mishnah that he cannot be incorporated in the zimun? Says the Gemara, who da'oma? Rav Yosi was telling us, Rav Shua ben Levi. He was referring to the chiddush of Rav Shua ben Levi. What did Rav Shua ben Levi say? Dom Rav Shua ben Levi, af al pi she'omroi kotten hamutal ba'arisa ein mezamnin olov. Shua ben Levi said, even though they said that actually a child in a crib cannot be incorporated in zimun, avol oisin oisoi sniff la'asara. But he may be included to be the 10th man. So he cannot be the 3rd man because there is no chi of zimun. But where there is a chi of zimun, it just has to be done in the presence of 10, he can be the 10th man. So the question again, can a young child be incorporated in a zimun at this stage? The answer is it depends. When the Mishnah says he cannot be, that's referring to when there are only 3 people, including the child. And when Rabbi Yosi says that he can be, that's talking about where there are 9 besides for the child, and he's just the 10th man. Like we said, we'll see in the end of the Gemara, we don't pass that. Just give me, just give me 10 seconds, please. Says the Gemara,
sure.
Omer Rav Shua ben Levi, Tisha ve'eved mitzdarfin. Another chiddush, which again, I don't think we hold of la'halacha. If you have 9, you can also add now an eved to be the 10th man, an eved meaning a non-Jewish slave. Says the Gemara, how can that be? Meisvei, Meisvei Rav Elezer, there was a famous story with Rav Elezer. Shenichnas la'beis ha'kneses, v'loi motzo asara. He could not find a 10th man. V'shichrer avdoi, and he freed his slave. Remember, when you free a non-Jewish slave, he becomes Jewish. V'shlimoi la'asara, and that way he could be mashlim the minion. That's the end of the story. So what do you see from that story? Shichrer in, comma, but loy shichrer loy. He was not happy to incorporate an eved. What he did was he freed him first. So how can you tell us that an Eved could be the 10th man for the Zimun? Surely you've got to be Meshachar him first. You've got to free him first, as you see in the story in Shul. Says the Gemara, no, in that story was different. Trei itzterichu. In that case, there were not 9 people. There were only 8 people. So therefore, shichrer chad. So he freed one slave. He became Jewish. Now they really have nine. And yes, the 10th man was another Eved, Venofik Bechad. And it could be Yotze with the last one. So you're allowed to include one Eved in your 10, whether it's in davening or whether it's in benching, but you cannot include two. So if you want to know why did Rabbi Eliezer free a slave, the answer is because they were short of two. And if they were short of two, he had to free one to make him Jewish. That way they had nine, and then the 10th man could be an Eved. Says the Gemara of Heichi Ovid Hochi. Nonetheless, we still have a question. How could he possibly do what he did? The Omer of Yehuda, surely Kol HaMashachar Avdoi, anybody who releases their slave and frees him, Oiver Ba'asei, is Oiver an Issa Deraisa, because it says, La'oilom behem ta'avoidu. They've got to work forever. And if they've got to work forever, it's actually Osa to free them. So for all the good intentions of the world, but how did, in fact, he free him? You're not allowed to free a slave. And if you do so, you're over Banasei. So how can you do that? Says the Gemara, no, don't worry. Here is different. Why is there here different? Ledvar mitzvah shani. He's not doing so just because he fancies doing so, but rather he's doing so because it is for the purpose of a mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah of davening. And if it's for the mitzvah of davening, that would be permissible, says the Gemara. What do you mean? But it's a mitzvah ha-bo'a ba'aveira. All very nice, you're doing it for a mitzvah, that's true, but it's a mitzvah ha-bo'a ba'aveira. It's coming about through an aveira. Which aveira? The aveira of freeing the slave. Says the Gemara, no. It's a mitzvah derabim. What does that mean, a mitzvah derabim? This is not just your ordinary mitzvah. This is an extra special mitzvah. Because this is a mitzvah for the rabbim. Which rabbim? For the entire minyan. Under those circumstances, then you can even be over an issa to do so. Very, very big chiddush of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, V'omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Now that we're quoting Rabbi Shua ben Levi, we now mention other statements in his name. La'oilom yashkim odom l'beis ha-knesses. A person should always try and come early to shul. Kedei sheyizke v'yimne im asorah horishonim. In order that he should have the zchus of being one of the first 10 people. Because if you do that, she'afilu me'o bo'im achro, because even if 100 people come after him, but he was the first 10, kibel olof schar kulom, he gets everybody's reward. What does that mean, he gets everybody's reward? Schar kulom salkadatoch? Can that literally be understood that he gets their reward and they don't get anything? How can that be? Says the Gemara, no. What it means is Elo'emo noisnin lo schar keneged kulo. Not that he takes away their schar. He will be zoicha keneged that corresponds to their schar. So they, will, of course, will get their schar. Nobody can take away their schar, but he will get on top of his own schar, he will get the schar that corresponds to theirs, because at the end of the day, he was the one who brought about the first minyan. Says the Gemara, Amar Avuna, Tisha v'Orayin mitstarfin. If you have 9 people plus the Sefer Torah, the Aron HaKodesh, that can form a minyan. What does that mean? Amar Rav Nachman v'Orayin gavrahu? Is the Orayin a person? The Orayin is a very Kodesh, etc., etc., but it's not a person. How can that possibly be considered the last man? Elo Eimo, you're right, says the Gemara. What it means is Elo Omar Avuna Tisho Nirim Kasara Mitzdarfin. One chiddush after another. And again, we don't hold to this either. But if you have 9 people that look like 10, how do you have 9 people that look like 10? Which are Mitzdarfin. Omri Law, some said Ki Mekanfi, the Omri Law Ki Mevadri. Some say that 9 look like 10 when they are all grouped together, and some say no, to the contrary, it's when they are dispersed. Some say when they're all grouped together, because then you can't see the exact number. And some say no, to the contrary, it's when they're all dispersed, they're too far away to really be able to count them properly. So a tremendous...
What does that have to do with the Aron?
It's not, it was a mistake. The Gemara is amending it. It wasn't an Aron at all. What he meant was something else completely. That was the Gemara's Elo. Elo Omer Rav Huna. You're right. Elo, we retract. Doesn't make any sense to say an Orain is Mitztaref. What we mean is a completely different Chiddush, which is a tremendous Chiddush, quite hard to understand, actually. 9, who appear, they look like 10, then that's good enough. Again, as I mentioned before, we do not paskin like these halachas. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Ami Shnayim v'Shabbos Mitztarfin, 2 people plus the Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? Omar Rav Nachman v'Shabbos Gavrahu, is Shabbos a person? Elo Omar Rav Ami Shnei Talmidei Chachomim, that's what it means. Hamachadidin ze b'halocha Mitztarfin. 2 Talmidei Chachomim who sharpen each other b'halocha, they can be Mitztarif, which, by the way, is another discussion, but just you see a tremendous chiddush, I think, in this Gemara. If the Gemara says that in Shabbos can be mitztaref, and the Gemara said, no, what we meant was 2 Talmidei Chachamim, and that tells you a lot that a Talmud Chacham has Shabbos-like qualities. In other words, what the Gemara suggested in the beginning wasn't a total mistake. It's just not literal. It's metaphoric. When the Gemara says Shabbos can be mitzvah, the Gemara says, "What? Shabbos is a person?" No, no. What I meant was two Talmidei Chachamim. Well, if that's what you meant, then why did you say Shabbos? The answer is Talmidei Chachamim have Shabbos-like qualities. Nobody can understand what that means and where you can take this to. Shabbos is a day that you're with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Talmidei Chachamim are constantly with the Rabbeinu Shalom.
Also, you could say Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, and Talmidei Chachamim inherit Olam Haba.
Right, Talmud Chacham is a Ben Olam Haba, correct, yeah. Very good.
According to this, they're not talking about on Shabbos, they're Mitztarf. Anytime they're Mitztarf.
Using Shabbos as a metaphor.
Okay.
Shabbos is a metaphor, but like I'm pointing out, even if it is used as a metaphor, it's got to be an accurate metaphor. Nobody said Shabbos, nobody said 2 people on Tuesday is Mitztarf. Talmud Chachamim are not Tuesday, but they do have a Bechina of Shabbos. Says the Gemara, as an example, Machvi means he demonstrated, Machvi Rav Chista, Kagoyin Anov Rav Sheshes. For example, me and Rav Sheshes, or Machvi Rav Sheshes, Kagoyin Anov Rav Chista. If I would be sitting here with Rav Chista, even though we're only 2, but it has the status of 3. Again, we do not paskin like this. We paskin at the end of the day, it really does have to be 3 people. And even if you have 2 Gedolei Yisrael sitting together eating in a meal, that would not constitute a Zimun, and you have to have 3. Okay, we'll hold it over here, and Mr. Hashem will continue our Chazara tomorrow, all being well.
Okay, Shkoach.
Well, have a great day, everybody. Kol Tov.